This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. After a despicable three-game slate on Monday, we are back with a glorious nine-game slate. Almost every game is delicious. Fantasy goodies everywhere. Really pumped for this slate. So the last two days have been like four or five game slate. I think it was a four-game slate, at least on DraftKings. It may have been like a three-game slate on Sunday, maybe four games on FanDuel, and then on Monday was only three games. So Tuesday, we are back at it, a full slate of games. Should be a lot of fun. So hopefully you played late on Monday. The judge tried to warn you that Monday was going to be nasty. There was going to be just chaos everywhere. We're going to have to roster two, three, four one-trick ponies and bums. So hopefully you took my advice. Didn't play too much, but people still made money. If you played Derrick Rose, you didn't make money, or any Nick for that matter. You probably didn't do too well, but there was still money to be had, and so hopefully you still did well if you did play. And also, you know, like I said on yesterday's podcast, on slates like that, it just doesn't make sense to play cash games, in my humble opinion. So for me, it was a tournament only. Didn't play a lot, but still had some fun with it. And now we move on to Tuesday, where we have a full allotment of games. We can use all of our knowledge to dominate and to earn the glory that we deserve. Before we start, very important that you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. As you know, there are currently fishing shows, archery shows, bow and arrow shows, hunting shows that are ahead of us in the rankings, even though we have more downloads, so I don't get that. And we have more reviews, but let us fix that. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. The judge would be very appreciative if you could do that. You may also notice that the judge's voice is a little bizarre. It's because I'm battling, I think, a cold again. I mean, I'm telling you, do not, for the fellas out there, do not get duped into buying a winter coat that is not truly made for the winter, because I'm running around New York in this little jacket that's made for like spring. It's super cold. The bailiff loves to go on these long walks. I mean, tomorrow I'm pretty sure I have to buy a winter coat. I think I'm fighting off this cold. You can see this illness, this quote-unquote illness is running rampant through the NBA. I'm sure a lot of it has probably to do with the weather right now in certain areas of the country. It's just so nasty. Makes the judge want to retire and move to Miami or somewhere nice and warm, or L.A., San Diego. Give the judge some opinions. Where should the judge move to? I mean, New York. I mean, I love New York, but like winters here are just brutal. And then I'm from Wisconsin, so compared to Wisconsin, this is nothing. But still, now I've been in New York 12, 13 years, and it's been in like the teens the last 2 days, and that's just too cold for the judge. And for the bailiff especially. I mean, you've got to bundle them up in some hoodies and all kinds of clothes. I look ridiculous doing that. All right. So rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Also, download the app Draft. And when you do, make sure you use the promo code DFBPOD. I know a lot of you, when you download it, you basically have told me you can't find where to enter the promo code. To me, it just popped up right away. But if you happen to download it and you can't find the promo code, that's fine. A lot of you haven't found it. And then you just tweet at me, at DanielAGreen1. Go to my website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and let me know, hey, Judge, I signed up, but I couldn't find the promo code. And we will get you hooked up. Also, if you could, when you do that, just let me know your username on the app, on the app Draft, because that will help. Then I can just contact them, and they'll take care of it for us. As you may have noticed, if you looked in the lobby of the app Draft, the judges' chambers is dominating the landscape of DFS. We have now have chambers on DraftKings, have had a 50-man tournament on Sunday or on Monday. We are up to 75 people. I'm going to have it on Monday. I already tweeted out the link, so just go to my Twitter page and you should see it. It's already out. I think I tweeted out like around like 1 in the morning maybe. Currently it's about 3 in the morning on late Monday or early Tuesday, however you want to look at it. So that link's there. Hopefully, I think we'll be able to fill the 75-man DK pretty easily, quite honestly. If we do that, I'll probably up it to 100 people on Wednesday. So FanDuel, we're still running the three chambers of 20 people in them each, because FanDuel, I'm still battling with them. They refuse to kind of accommodate us and let me have a 50, 7,500 person contest on FanDuel. So, I'm still working with it. I think eventually it will happen. It's just taking longer than I would hope. But getting back to the app draft, on the homepage of the app, you will see the judges chambers. We have an NCAA style bracket. It is phenomenal. 32 teams, or 32, I guess, just players. There's 32 spots for you to enter. And then it's mano-a-mano snake draft style. And then it's, you know, if you win, you advance in the brackets. It basically, it takes place over 5 days. It starts on Wednesday. As of the time I'm recording the show, there's only one spot left because there are only 32 spots. It was a $20 entry fee, but don't be fooled by that entry fee, my friends, because it takes place over 5 days. It's basically, you know, starts, you'll do a snake draft on Wednesday. If you win that one, you advance to the round of 16 on Thursday. You win that one, you advance to the Elite Eight on Friday, and then the Final Four on Saturday, and then the championship would be on Sunday. And if you win, it's like $300. So potentially $20 for, you know, 5 days of awesome action. And then if you take it down, not only will you get mad praise from the judge on the show, on the podcast, and on Twitter, but it's, you know, you'll earn the praise of the world, quite honestly. I mean, that's just a massive accomplishment. But no, in all seriousness, it's just a lot of fun, man. Doing the snake drafts, it's just a nice change of pace from playing the grind of DFS life. So make sure you get in there. I hope that we can do them daily, but I'm not sure if it's going to be a daily thing on the app. But I'm still working with them to see how often we're going to have the judges chambers on there. But I'm just pumped for the first one to start on Wednesday. So hopefully you did get in there. If you didn't make it this time around, you know, hopefully you can get in next time. And I will make sure to alert you when the next one is up and running. But it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Also, if you would like a consultation with the judge, I had two more today. I'm probably just not helping my voice. And let me know. You can tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 or go to the website and send me an email. And basically, that's just all about you. That's more if you're struggling on a fundamental level and you have serious questions about roster construction, building lineups. Make sure you're entering the right contest. I mean, a lot of it's just focusing on what your strengths are. I mean, DFS is like anything else in life. You have to figure out what's your strength. I mean, maybe you're a GPP player. Maybe you're more talented at single entry tournaments. I mean, everyone is different. One of the main things that we'll do to start out with is figure out, you know, where your strengths are. So I have you tracking and using a lot of data that you probably are currently not doing. So it's just for people who, you know, want to see those results, start going in the right direction, and pretty, it's more, you know, more of a macro level issue and not little micro issues. But, so feel free to let me know if you want to do that. And then that's about it that I got. That's all administrative stuff. We got lots of games, a lot to talk about for the slate. So I don't want to waste too many times on Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. Before we hop into that, although there were so many, I could talk the whole hour just about Derrick Rose and what the hell is that going on with that saga. Although it's a little weird because I'm not sure if I should be, you know, if I just, you know, how funny I should be about it and how much we should make fun of him. Or if something serious did happen, you know, then I'll feel like an idiot. And if he had some personal matter, maybe something's wrong with one of his kids. So, and I especially think now is you know, whatever, I think he just left the team because he's upset. Well, actually, yeah, that's stupid of me to say. I really don't know. But if you read the articles that are out there, he clearly was upset with the team at being benched. And he just didn't show up for the – he showed up for shooting around and then didn't show up for the game and flew back home to Chicago. And – apparently the Knicks are treating this like it's a CIA mission because they're not letting us know why he went home, why he went AWOL, why he went home. I mean, you never see this happen. You never, even if a player gets benched, I mean, you never see him just fly home like a little baby. You know, it's just the whole thing is super bizarre. I was looking at all the headlines in the New York papers and it's just crazy right now. So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see what the hell happens to Derrick Rose. Yeah. So we'll get into him in a little bit in Dream Killer, Dream Lovers. First, let's talk about the Chambers winners for Sunday. Sorry, for Monday. You guys know it's late in the morning. So, and now I'm battling this cold again because the hot girl sold me that jacket. So if I mispronounce some names, you know, or do some silly things on the show, I don't need thousands of you tweeting at me, making fun of the judge. Well, I'm sure a couple of you will do that anyway. But so for the Chambers, which is basically some of the best DFS players in all of the land who I am humble enough, they grace their presence in the Chambers every night. We run, run those tournaments on DraftKings every night, FanDuel every night. And now we have the lovely bracket NCAA style bracket challenge on the app draft as well. So the winners on Monday in Chambers, we had Ricky Geiger. I feel like I see his name a lot in the Chambers, and I feel like he's won more, but I think according to my records, it's only his second win of the year, but he's a really good player. So congrats to him. Bad Notions, another guy who's been a pretty good player in Chambers. I think it's his first win, but it's a six cash. Put up a score of 310, the highest score of the night in Chambers. If you had over 300 tonight, you made some good money. It was a nasty night. I mean, all the one trick ponies basically were bums. So you had to play Anthony Davis and Ricky Rubio, quite honestly, to make some good money. And then Neil Kid One, who's been with me, following me for a long time. I think one of my original followers back when I was on another site, and I was a young lad, new to the industry, very gullible, believing everything that Roto Grinders spit at me, before realizing most things they say end up not being correct. But I digress. Neil Kid One got his first win in Chambers as well, so congrats to him. His third cash of the year, put up a nice score of 302. Also, give a shout out to our DK Chambers winners. And remember, if you play Chambers, let me know tweet at me what your FanDuel or DK username is, so I can give you a proper shout out. Like the DK winners, I don't know who the hell they are, so I can't give you a proper shout out on via Twitter. But Mass JD took it down. It was 50 people, so this is a very impressive feat. DJ Johnson 13 took second, and Jetaholic took third with a score of like 270 or 280 or something like that. So congrats to all the Chambers winners on Monday. Tuesday will be glorious for all of us. Dream Killers. So then, like I said, the Knicks. If you played any Knicks, first of all, they had an ideal matchup against the Pelicans, especially at point guard, because the Pelicans gave up the second most points to point guards, opposing point guards. So Rose was even though he got benched the last game out, was an elite play. That's what made this even worse. He was like over 30% owned in most of the major tournaments and single entry tournaments that I was in. And so, I didn't want to play Rose, but I actually had him. I played a $65 single entry tournament. Actually, I don't know if it's a single entry or not. It's called the Charge on FanDuel. And that was my highest entry tournament I played on FanDuel. I didn't play a ton, but I played a bunch of smaller stuff besides that. But of course I had Rose in that one lineup, and I had him in my Chambers lineup, and all day long it was between Rubio and Rose for me. And I eventually went with Rose based on pace and matchup. I thought he couldn't miss, and felt fine about it, even though I hate him as a person and didn't want to play him. And then right after lineup lock, must have been 2 minutes, right after I do my customary tweet saying good luck to everyone in the Chambers and telling the bailiff to lock the doors, D Rose is out. When about 45 minutes earlier, Hornacek said everyone is playing except one of their foreigners, Willa Gomez Hernandez, whatever. So that was a punch to the stomach, and that will happen occasionally in DFS. The fact that it was Derrick Rose made me that much angrier. And then as the night progressed, things just kept getting weird with Derrick Rose, that he wasn't with the team. He flew home to Chicago. No one knows where he is. No one's going to comment about it. It's like a covert CIA mission. They're hunting Milata all over again. Maybe that's what Rose is doing. Maybe he's kind of trying to hunt down ISIS. Who knows? Anyway, it would have been nice if the rest of the Bulls showed up, though. I mean, if you faded Anthony Davis, you probably played Porzingis. He was just a complete, sickening, disgusting human being on Monday night. 3 for 13 from the floor. I don't even know if he was in the 20s in FanDuel points. Might have been like 17. It was horrifying what he did. Carmelo, who gets a 7 percentage points increase in usage rate without Rose, should have went nuts. What does he do? He gets ejected again, like a third time this year. I think he put up like 27 or so before he left. But I mean, still, just a disgusting, disgraceful performance by the Knicks and by the Knicks as a team. It's going to be just fascinating to see what goes on with them going forward. If you play season long, I'd pick up Brandon Jennings, because I don't know. I mean, things were trending, as I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, everything's trending in the wrong direction with Derrick Rose anyway. And when you go AWOL from a team, I'm sure PR-wise, the agent's going to concoct some story now and say, like, he went home they'll make up some emergency, even if he was just whining about playing time. Because, I mean, his agent, I'm sure, is well aware what a PR disaster this would be if something is not seriously wrong. You know, so it's just a bad situation. And the Knicks have been playing like crap anyway. But it's horrible. If you play the Bulls, you're probably also really pissed. Jimmy Butler dealing with an illness, one of these, the mystery illness going around the NBA, maybe the same one that I'm concocting right now. And Jimmy Butler, pretty sure he was like 0 for 6 from the floor and maybe had one actual point, was just a disaster. Shouldn't have played. I mean, he's a tough guy. He's not a tin man like Anthony Davis or you know, some of the other guys in the NBA. So you kind of knew he was going to play, but he shouldn't have because he was lethargic. I clearly was not right. Everyone except Dwayne Wade and Felicio was disgraceful for the Bulls. I mean, it was a mystery. Like, I don't understand. First of all, I didn't catch a lot of this game. So I taped it. I was doing consultation, so I need to go back and watch. But Mirotić, or I watched a tiny bit late in the third, early in the most of the fourth quarter, but when it was already a blowout. Mirotić only got 16 minutes. Why that happened, I have no clue. I need to find out because that puzzles the hell out of me. He was a great play for all formats on this slate, so shocking. And he was getting in like mid-20s every game. I don't know what the hell that was about. He went 1 for 4 and was an absolute dud. Doug McDermott got 25 minutes and put up another. He was a bum too, 2 for 6 from the floor. So massive dream killers for those two guys, expecting big games from them, and they both completely crapped the bed. Then you got the two Minnesota boys, Wiggins and LaVine. They both sucked, even though they got monster minutes. And this is the one thing about LaVine that was interesting is he had 7 shots. Even though he played 40 minutes, a lot of nights, man, you look at his usage rate, it's not that high. And if his price continues to stay what it is, like as it is now, I don't know. Luckily he somehow got to 20 FanDuel points because he got some rebounds and assists, but he's going to be the guy that I'm probably going to start fading from that team. The only reason why you may want to play him on some slates is because shooting guard does suck sometimes, but his usage rate continues to go down as they run more of the offense through Towns, and Wiggins is always going to get his shots. And if Rubio starts playing a little better like he did on Monday, LaVine could end up being the odd man out. It's something to keep your eye on. Wiggins did his one-trick pony show. I think he had like 11 actual points and 4 rebounds and nothing else. It was a disaster. Wes Matthews, he's just a personification of someone who stands in a corner, and he's basically becoming Courtney Lee, which is very hard for me to say. Except defensively, Wes Matthews is still good. But Wes Matthews played 36 minutes, was 1 for 7 from the floor. And the problem now with Dirk Nowitzki back and Harrison Barnes is not – I mean, I thought Harrison's shot attempts and usage rate would go down. It's not happening. Carlisle's still going to Harrison Barnes a ton. Barnes got 23 shots, was 13 for 23, and then Dirk had his best game of the year, was 8 for 16. That meant Wes Matthews – I already told you on many other podcasts, in the fourth quarter, it's all pick and roll isolation with Harrison Barnes and Darren Williams anyway. Now with Dirk back – I mean, Wes was already standing in the corner, and one of my guys on Twitter sent me a photo of Wes Matthews standing in the corner because he will go 8, 9, 10, 11 possessions without touching the ball. So, you know, especially in games, like slow paced games, even if he gets a lot of minutes, it's very hard to play him. Not a guy with a high ceiling right now. Dream Lovers, but Buddy Hield, my boy who I mentioned on the show yesterday, he came through, he outscored Oladipo and a bunch of other bums, and he was much cheaper. So, and New Orleans blew out the Knicks, so he didn't even get a ton of minutes. He was great. Anthony Davis, I know he got someone finally get the Knicks. Kyle O'Quinn, at least Kyle O'Quinn plays hard and gave Anthony Davis a hard foul. Of course, if you blow on Anthony Davis, he's going to get injured. So, of course, Anthony Davis is now dealing with a hip pointer or something like that. And he went to the locker room I think late in the third quarter. Even in like 28 minutes, dude put up 70 FanDuel points. Like, that's just how talented he is. He was a must to make big money. So I mentioned on the show yesterday that you got to play. I mean, on a 3-game slate like this, it was about raw number of points. Each slate is different. On the 3-game slate, you had to look at the roster and say to yourself, you know what? What's going to get me to 300 points? What's the easiest route to do that? Do you want to play 6 bums, or 6 one-trick ponies? Or you lock in Westbrook and Anthony Davis and get a guaranteed, 140 FanDuel points. So granted, even with those two, then you have to fill your lineup with a bunch of bums. But on a slate like that, the opportunity cost is just too great to pass up on a guy like Anthony Davis and Westbrook. So Anthony Davis, hopefully he was in your lineups. Carl Anthony Towns, I was surprised how he had close to 60 fandom points against Dallas, which is super impressive because Dallas and Bogut are really good defensively against the center position, and obviously they play at such a horrific pace. So impressive for Towns. Also Rubio at his best game of the year. He put up, you know, one of those days where he had 15 assists, got some actual points, got some rebounds, and that's why LaVine struggled so much and his usage was way down because Rubio took some more shots, and was great to see. I mean, if that can consistently happen, Rubio can be in play, and I wish I would have played more Rubio, and especially in my lineup where I had D Rose over Rubio, because that was the difference between making zero money and making a lot of money. I did, thank God, I did have the exact same lineup, and I had Rubio in one and Rose in one. Unfortunately, the higher dollar one, I had Rose. But Rubio was great, but we'll see if that continues. Dirk was great, something to keep an eye on. I still wouldn't trust him in back-to-backs, but it's good to see him. Wade was really good for the Bulls, the only one who showed up. Cantor was good. And then Brandon Jennings, because I'm not sure how many of you played him, but because none of us knew Derrick Rose was going to be out, but Jennings got the start. And he had more shots than Porzingis, because he basically does the same thing Rose does, except he passes a little bit more, but he's a gunner. So when he plays, he's always going to jack up his shots for sure. Our injury news it still was a lot of dream lovers, dream killers, right? Man, even only three games, there's always so much to talk about. All right, injury news for Wednesday. Tuesday. There's already a decent amount. Something that you got to monitor. For the Bulls, I don't understand that they're resting D. Wade. What they should have done is the second OKC was blowing them out, they should have rested Wade a lot of that OKC game and played him in the back-to-back, because Butler is going to be out with the illness. So now the Bulls are going to be without Wade, without Butler. I think Valentine's going to play, but he's questionable with an ankle. Although I think he's traveling at least with the team. But I mean, I could see them starting a lineup of MCW, McDermott, Mirotić, Gibson, and Lopez, something like that. So, dear God, I'm not sure how they keep that game close. In theory, there's a lot of value plays from that team now, but that game is going to be a wild card now, that Washington-Chicago game. For Boston, Avery Bradley is still going to be out with an Achilles. Tyler Zeller is out with an illness. Trevor Booker is questionable with a hip. Eric Gordon, questionable with a strained big left toe. That's interesting for Houston. I wonder who would get his minutes. If it's Corey Brewer, then that does nothing for me, but that's something to keep an eye on. Nicholas Batum is doubtful with that sprained right knee, so Jeremy Lamb is probably a lock and load in my cash games. Cody Zeller, questionable with an illness. Kyle Korver is going to play his first game for Cleveland. I still am not going to play, I don't think, any Korver in the first game. I want to see what he does for the Cavs. John Luehr killed us the other night. If you played him, he got 6 minutes and then sat out. He's dealing with a right knee injury. And then Josh Richardson from Miami, who's playing Golden State, is doubtful with a foot injury. So Tyler Johnson, give me some of Tyler. All right, over-unders. There's really juicy games on this slate. I mean, there's really not a bad – the worst game is Cleveland at Utah, a 202 over-under. If you are looking to play GPPs, this is a nice time to get the Cavs. The LeBron, Kyrie, and Love will all be super low-owned against Utah. And some days that's how you can take down a GPP. That's how actually I took down – my first GPP I took down ever was because James Harden was questionable, and I played him when no one else did, when he was like 2% owned. The second one, I played LeBron. I forgot who – I think the Cavs were playing – I don't remember what team it was now. This was like 2 years ago in a super slow-paced game when everyone else was playing Durant. I got LeBron at like 5 or 6% owned when he went nuts. So a good strategy to do in tournaments, because in cash games, I don't want any of these guys. I'm not playing a Cleveland guy or a Utah guy. You know, I got to find a way on a 9-game slate to narrow the player field. I'm going to scratch this game out for cash games. But for tournaments, yeah, I mean, you can get some LeBron, some Kyrie, some Kevin Love. And because this is a night where they will be low owned, because there are so many good players and people are not going to want to spend up when they face Utah in the lowest over-under of the night. You got Charlotte at Houston, a 224 over-under. That's the highest over-under of the night right now. Houston is favored by 9.5. And if Batum doesn't play, potential blowout there, but still fantasy goodness all around. Portland at the Lakers. This is probably the best game in terms to attack. 223 over-under, so I cannot wait to attack that game. Both teams are atrocious defensively. I mean, Portland, you can attack the hell out of it. These two teams played, I think it was two nights ago. So, I mean, we have a sample size of what happened. I mean, Randall went nuts. Russell went nuts for the Lakers. For Portland, I think Lillard and McCollum went nuts. Everyone's basically in play for that. You also have Atlanta, Brooklyn, only a 214 over-under, but Brooklyn is they're basically the worst at every position. So all of the Atlanta guys, I like Schroeder, I love. You got Dwight, you got Millsap. All those guys are interesting plays. And then you got Miami, Golden State. If Miami can keep that close, Golden State's a 15.5-point favorite. I mean, another game for cash games, I probably will not touch it. But for tournaments, I will try to target a lot of the Miami guys for sure. And maybe a couple of the Golden State guys. But my theory on Golden State is I hate them all. I mean, basically, when I see a Golden State player come up and when I'm looking through the FanDuel on my roster, I basically give them the middle finger. I know they probably can't see me. Maybe they can. But I hate them all. I hate Durant going there. They've destroyed that. I think me and someone during a consultation was talking about this today. They've destroyed the NBA, I think. Not destroyed, but they made it a lot less fun by having a team that has four superstars. And in DFS, it sucks now because every night it's just a wild card. You really can't trust any of those Warriors. They have the massive over-unders. But, I mean, they're 15, 16, 17, 18-point favorites every night. You know, and you never know which one of those busters are going to go off. And I'm sick of playing the Crash Brothers. All right. I didn't mean to yell at you guys. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Durant for going there. All right, team's playing up in pace. What does the judge loves more than anything in life? The bailiff, of course. After the bailiff, I love pace and I love usage. Atlanta playing way up in pace against Brooklyn. I'm going to target the hell out of those guys. Miami way up in Golden State for tournaments. I like Miami. Charlotte playing way up in pace against Houston. No Nick Batum. Give me some Kemba Walker. The problem is Patrick Beverley defense. Patrick Beverley scares everyone. Kyle Lowry had a bad game. I mean, no one hits value against Patrick Beverley. Can Kemba do it? Can Kemba of the Kemba Hornets or the Charlotte Kembas do it? Maybe. And then Portland playing up against the Lakers. Those are the teams I would like to attack the most. Let's hop into the plays because the show, I've already wasted too much time like usual. My voice feels extra scratchy and hoarse. I must drink some of this orange juice. So I have a smoothie with a straw, and also they gave me an extra straw today. I think the key is when I ordered my delivery and ordered my smoothie, I put exclamation points when I said, please give me straws. And I did write S's, an S like for make it plural. So I got two straws today. So in case I get my smoothie tomorrow, I'm already one straw up. I'm ahead of the game, my friends. So I got a smoothie, some orange juice, some coldies, and some water. I do not like taking medicine, so I don't take like NyQuil, even like Advil and stuff like that. I don't like taking. The judge is all natural. All right, let's hop into the plays. Point guard, no Westbrook, so no $13,000 players, but we got John Wall leading the way, 9.5K. Look, I don't know what to tell you about this Bulls-Washington game. There's no spread up yet. Washington's not that good, but you would figure they gotta be Rondo could actually play, by the way. Coach Hoiberg said without Butler and Wade, Rondo might play. So it's watch the news for that. If he plays, I bet you he comes back with a vengeance. It'd be a really sneaky move for tournaments. And now he's dirt cheap on all sites. And remember, for purposes of the show, we are using FanDuel pricing. So maybe going forward, if you guys do want me to do a show with DraftKings pricing, we can work that in. But right now we are still using FanDuel pricing. And if you guys play on different sites, you know the pricing is so different. DraftKings is far more proactive. So just because someone's a great play on FanDuel doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be a great play on DraftKings and vice versa. So, I mean, I would think Washington's going to be at least a 10-point favorite. With that said, Wall and MCW still playing. He's a pretty good defender. But Wall is still safe for all formats. Right now, I do not have him in my cash games. I'm going to go in a different direction. But he's been rock solid all year. One of the most consistent guys in fantasy, and I'm fine for him in all formats. He's pricey, though, 9.5K, and I do not think you need to do it on this slate. I'm just not sure. Who the hell is going to score for the Bulls? How do they keep that close? I don't know. Isaiah Thomas, 8.9K. You know, like John Wall, who's got a usage rate of 34.4%. Isaiah is a tad higher, 34.6%. And Is Avery Bradley playing or not? What did I say for that injury news? Did I mention Avery Bradley? Yeah, so Avery Bradley's still out. So to me, and I should have figured out what the exact usage bump is before the show, but I did not have time. But Isaiah, I like him even more without Avery Bradley. This Boston-Toronto game, I don't think I even mentioned. It has like a really high over-under. Right now, I think it's like a 218 over-under, something like that, which I think is a little too high. I'm not sure why it's that high of an over-under. Yeah, 218, that's massive. These teams are battling for the 2 seed in the East. I think Boston may be either tied or like one game behind Toronto. It's really close. So this should be a really fascinating game. Isaiah and Kyle Lowry going at it. Kyle Lowry is a good defender. Isaiah Thomas, at this point, with that usage rate, without Avery Bradley, he makes tough shots. So he's basically matchup proof. Another guy, I'm fine for all formats. Am I going to go there in cash? As of now, I am not. But if you want to, totally fine. And for tournaments, hell yeah. I can't wait to stack this game and have a Kyle Lowry, Isaiah Thomas as my 2 point guards. Damian Lillard, 8.9K. So versus the Lakers, the last time Portland played the Lakers last week, Lillard put up 40 Fando points. Why is he not going to do that again? I mean, Lakers are horrific defensively. They give up the fifth most Fando points to point guards. And the Lakers give up fifth most points to point guards, fifth most to shooting guards, third most to small forwards, second most to power forwards, and fifth most to centers. And Brooklyn, meanwhile, gives up the most to point guards, third most to shooting guards, most to small forwards, third most to power forwards, most to centers. Every player for Lakers and Atlanta is in play. So Lillard, fine, all formats. And the price actually came down a little bit for Lillard. What is his usage rate these days? I will say I was surprised that last time I watched Portland play, CJ McCollum was doing a lot, especially in the fourth quarter when it's usually Lillard time. McCollum was taking a lot of those shots, and I started to see Tin Man Damian Judy Dench standing in the corner. So slight concern, but he should be fine against Lakers. Steph Curry, tournament only. They're 8,000-point favorites against Miami, tournament only. Kyle Lowry, 8.8K. He's going to go under-owned on this slate because he's pricey. And the problem for me is the usage rate, as I mentioned on previous shows. It's not even 27%. He's in the bottom tier of point guards in terms of usage rate right now. There's at least 10 to 12 on this slate that have higher usage rates. And stupid DeMar DeRozan taking horrendous contested isolation jumpers is hobbling up all the shots. And it drives me insane watching them play. And at that price, it's going to make Lowry for me hard to play in cash games. I do think for tournaments, though, you can play him because he can give you a 50 burger. He's so much more efficient than Lowry. Kemba Walker, 8.3K. So he's got Patrick Beverley defense, but this is the team playing way up in pace. If Charlotte is going to keep this close, it's going to be because Kemba takes lots of shots and he makes lots of shots. In the last game without Batum, Kemba played the Spurs and did not do well. They got blown out. Only had 23 Fando points. So, people tend to be scared of Patrick Beverley, and he's the numbers kind of back it up that he does hurt opposing point guards. They seem to struggle. If you don't want to use Kemba, I understand it, but I think he's a really good tournament play, and I think he'll be underowned. And that's a nice game if you want to stack that game. You can do it. Kyrie Irving, as I mentioned top of the show, a nice way to differentiate your lineups is play some of these the Cleveland guys. You can play some Kyrie, play some LeBron, play some Kevin Love. Kyrie's price was almost an 8.9K a couple nights ago. Now it's down to 8.1K. So maybe is FanDuel actually being proactive and lowering someone's price because of against Utah? That would be nice if they're doing that. I'm not sure. But 8.1 is better than 8.9. So he's fine. I mean, we've seen guys be able to destroy both the Utah and Memphis. I mean, it can happen. And I think if you're going to attack Utah, it's going to be on the perimeter. It's not going to be, for the most part, against Rudy Gobert. So Kyrie's a sneaky tournament play. This will be one of the days of the year you get him at his lowest ownership of the year. So tournaments for me. Reggie Jackson, 7.1K. He's been good. He's been the usage rate 31.2%, fourth best among the point guards on this slate. And he's been just rock steady, 39, 40, 47, 34, 35, 29. So even though this is one of the slowest paced games, the price is still very fair. I think he's safe for all formats. And I'm fine if you want to roll him out right now. I mean, there's point guard is always on a large slate, as you guys know. It's loaded, but Reggie Jackson, he's fine for all formats. He could give you he could go off for a 50 Fanduel point night. If you play him, you just got to hope the pace of that game is a little faster than expected. And what I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, I think it was yesterday, is that the problem with Sacramento is they play so much through Cousins that in itself just slows down the game. I mean, trying to go through your big man. And like Collison and Ty Lawson too, for that matter, it basically hamstrings both of them, and that's why their numbers have been down most of this year. Next up, Dennis Schroeder. I love this play on Tuesday. So Atlanta at Brooklyn. I love all the Atlanta guys. Dennis Schroeder, safe for all formats. I love that you're getting him at what I think is a discount, because the guy's got a 30% usage rate. So I mean, the numbers 28, 35, 35, 32, 29, 37 Fanduel points. So to me, he's super safe with a nice upside. Now he's playing Atlanta, playing way up in pace, getting the worst defense in the league at almost every position. So I can't envision Schroeder not torching them and getting like a floor of 28 to 32 Fanduel points with a ceiling of like 45 to 50. So yeah, I'm fine with him all formats. Goran Dragic, an elite tournament play. If Miami, and we've seen Golden State let teams hang around. If Dragic can get over 30 minutes in this super fast paced game, and you can attack the hell out of Steph Curry, Dragic, you know, he's for me probably single entry and GPPs only. But I think he's in a really good spot and could put up a monster number. D'Angelo Russell. Man, his price has come up to 6.7K. That him and Randall both, as they get more minutes, as they get, they keep having more. They're more consistent. Their price goes up, but it is warranted. Judy Dench does not play any defense for Portland, so he's in a good spot. Last game against the Blazers, he put up 31 Fanduel points. I mean, I do love his usage rate. It's close to 30%. It's basically the same as Dennis Schroeder and the same as Giannis. So, you know, the problem is there's other point guards I prefer. I mean, I prefer Dennis Schroeder obviously to him, and they're basically the exact same price at this point. So, well, I think I don't want to pay 6.7K for Russell and cash yet, but in single entry tournaments and GBPs, I think you can do it. He's in a good spot on Tuesday. And the best part about him is the minutes seem to be trending up lately. George Hill, I'm just not going to do it, 6.5K. Utah, in theory, is in a decent spot here. They are playing a little bit up in pace. This is a big game for them. They were on, a long road trip. They need a win, quite honestly. But that, to me, that's still too pricey. Now that Utah, they're fully healthy, I mean, I know a lot of you guys like playing George Hill, and he has been nice and consistent this year. I'm just not going to have a lot of exposure to him. Tyler Johnson. So with Josh Richardson being out, Deion Waiters still a little limited. Another guy, he's pricey now, but in an elite spot. If somehow they do keep that game close against Golden State, it's going to be because Dragic, Tyler Johnson, and probably Whiteside. So tournament's very an interesting play. Patrick Beverley, 5.9K. He continues to be pretty good. I mean, last game against Toronto, only 20 Fanduel points, but the two before that, 35 and 28. Then he dealt with that injury for a while. But, you know, on this slate, he'll be guarding Kemba Walker. He'll get a lot of minutes. He's another guy, fine. I just, on a nine-game slate, I prefer to play someone with who's actually has a higher usage rate. I mean, Beverly's usage rate is the lowest out of any point guard. It's 15.8%. I just, you know, give me a guy who's going to get some shots up. You can do Beverly. He's fine. It could work out for you. He can get you 30 Fanduel points, but I'm just going to look elsewhere on the slate. Marcus Smart. So if Avery Bradley's out, Marcus Smart's probably going to be starting, and he's looked great the last two games, 40 and 33 Fanduel points. So in this matchup versus Toronto, I know Toronto, let's say Marcus Smart is guarded by DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan has been an elite defender this year. But I think that's a fair price for Marcus Smart. I mean, the next three guys, I mean, I'm big fans of on Tuesday. In terms of getting one value point guard in your lineup, Marcus Smart, obviously 5.2K. You got MCW. You know, I'm not a big fan of MCW in terms of DFS if Wade and Butler are both healthy and playing, but they're out. So MCW now at 4.8K, suddenly he's going to see a massive bump in usage. They're going to need him to score, which they haven't really all year long. So 4.8K, if he gets 30 plus minutes, he should be able to get us 30, 35 Fando points. So MCW I think he's fine for all formats. And the same, what's it? This one's a little bit trickier, maybe, at least on the surface. Malcolm Brogdon, who's playing fantastic and probably is the second best rookie of the year, if you ask me, next to Embiid. Wait, no, is Embiid a rookie? Now I'm all confused, man. It's getting too late in the morning. Yeah, I guess Embiid still is a rookie. So Brogdon's been terrific. Even though Dellavedova's back, Dellavedova only played 18 minutes, and Brogdon got 36 in the last game against Washington. Brogdon, 35, 24, 31 the last three games. They're playing the Spurs. That's the one thing that's going to scare. Everyone's scared to play people against the Spurs, and you should be, quite honestly, because if you look at them, they play at a slow pace because they go a lot up through LaMarcus Aldridge. Kawhi, you know, he plays at somewhat of methodical pace, maybe, I would say, for Kawhi. I mean, even though he's athletic, he certainly doesn't, you know, rush the ball up the court. It'd be fun if the Spurs did more of that. But also, Tony Parker is now 75 years old, so he probably can't. So, I mean, I don't love this spot for Brogdon, but you can attack the Spurs guards, so I'm not super worried. I still think Brogdon, is pretty safe for all formats. I think on DraftKings, he's getting close to 6K, and that's too expensive to me. But 4.8K, I think it's fine. Now, I kind of prefer MCW though. I know Butler and Wade are going to be out, so I think MCW, I may like him a little more than Brogdon for this slate. And then Marcus Smart's fine, but all three of those point guards are fine. Then you got Tony Parker, who's in play, 4.7K. No, he'll be super low owned. Darren Collison, Ty Lawson. I'm going to pass on those two not in a nine game slate. On a nine game slate, you don't need to force value. You don't need to do it. Jordan Clarkson, 4.3K. If there is one guy who I'll play as a dart in tournaments, it is Clarkson, because he still has been getting minutes for the Lakers. 29 minutes. Then he got ejected against Miami with 32 minutes before that. And he's lately been a fantasy point per minute guy. So at that price, for tournaments, I think he's fine. And then keep an eye on Rondo. If Rondo does play, he's 4K. And as a tournament, I think Rondo would be an interesting guy you could play. All right, shooting guard. James Harden, 11.7K. So no Westbrook. So the first question we probably should ask is, do we want to play Harden? He's expensive, but you saw I just mentioned three very solid value point guards you could play. Dennis Schroeder is very safe for cash. So you can play Harden and still feel good about your lineup. So right now I do have him locked. And the one thing I'm starting to do with Harden is if they're not on a back-to-back, I think he's going to be obviously much more likely to be in my cash game lineups. You may ask, why, Judge? Why? Every day, what does Houston do? What does all they do? Jump shots. Three point attempts, all those guys. So not only Harden, but also guys like Ariza, Ryan Anderson. I'm going to look to play them more when it's not on the second leg of a back-to-back, because the last few times I played Harden on back-to-backs, every shot he takes, and the same was true for Ryan Anderson, every shot they took, it was short. I mean, they just didn't have enough legs, especially with the minutes that Harden's playing. That kind of makes sense. Why he didn't, certain nights he doesn't take it more to the hole, I don't understand, but coming off some rest now, 11.7K, that's expensive, but I do have the salary. There's enough value on the slate. You don't have to do it by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't want to play Giannis in cash, at least, because I am a little worried he's going to get Kawhi Leonard in defense. So that means for Harden, I'm going to use him in cash. Tournaments, you can use him, but as you guys probably have noticed, on large slates, unless one of the superstars go off for 70, 80, 90 FanDuel points, most of the winning lineups end up being a more balanced lineup. So you can totally fade Harden in GPPs, but as of now, I do have Harden in a lot of lineups. Giannis is 10.1K. So I'm just worried he's going to get Kawhi Leonard. And now, will I still have a little exposure in tournaments? Yeah, because I think this is going to be, you know, similar to the Cavs guys. This is going to be one of the days where he's probably going to be super low owned, especially if word gets out that Kawhi is going to be guarding him. So I like him in tournaments. I'm gonna spend up for Harden though in cash. DeMar DeRozan, his price, man, has come up now to 9K, which annoys the hell out of me. It's because he won't stop freaking shooting the ball. He just will not stop. Just pass the ball to Lowry. It's just so annoying. If I have to watch him take another 22-foot turnaround contested jumper, I'm going to throw my gavel. By the way, I still can't find my gavel. Oh, here it is. I found my gavel. I'm going to throw the gavel again through the TV, and then I'm going to do something else to my gavel. I haven't decided yet because it's super frustrating to watch these Raptors play. With that said, DeMar DeRozan has a usage rate of 34%. That's crazy. I'm pretty sure that's still got to be top five in the NBA. I mean, besides Westbrook, Harden, I don't know. He may be third in the NBA. I mean, I think that's pretty close to Isaiah Thomas and Embiid. But either way, with that usage rate, it's hard to ignore, especially no Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley, I would have faded DeMar completely, but no Avery Bradley. Now, Marcus Smart's still a good defender too. But I think because Giannis is such a tough matchup, if he's going up against Kawhi, I don't mind some DeMar DeRozan. I think it's relatively safe. Look, he jacks up so many shots. He's going to bumble, stumble, and fumble his way into like 30, 35 Fando points. And if he's hitting his shots, he can get you 40, 45, maybe 50. I don't love the play, but it's okay. Only because the usage rate is just so dang high. CJ McCollum, 8.8K. So he's still priced up like Lillard's out, and that's because since Lillard's been back, he's been still really good, and he's been still taking a lot of shots, 50 and 42 Fando points since Damian Judy Dench has come back, and he had 42 Fando points last time they played the Lakers. I mentioned the Lakers are horrific against every position. He's fine for all formats. Am I going to play a lot of him? As of now, I am not. I may have to rethink that. I mean, there's so many guys that are juicy, so many players I want to attack. But if right now I'm going Harden in cash, so I don't have the money to play him. But I'll find a way to get a little bit of exposure to him. But he probably will be one guy that I end up fading and hoping he doesn't go off. Bradley Beal, 6.9K. Another guy in this Chicago-Washington game I'm not sure what to do with. In theory, we all know he gets lots of minutes and he's been good. 32, 28, 38, 35 last four games. He's fine. I just prefer to go another route, but if you want to use him, no issues. Klay Thompson, tournaments only. Crash Brothers. KCP, 5.7K. So Sacramento, even though they played a slow pace, they've been horrific against opposing shooting guards. KCP, he's. I'm not ready. I don't know if I want him at Magic Mountain with me, waiting in line for roller coasters with Eric Bledsoe and some other guys in the Bazemore. But he may have to be there. The 39, 15, 29, 40, 21, 20, the last four, five, six games. The minutes are certainly there. I do like the price. So I think is he a little bit risky for cash? Maybe on a nine-game slate. I don't think you need to do it when you got a guy like Jeremy Lamb who's going to probably start if Batum's out for 4K. But I do think KCP is pretty much fine for – you can do it for cash. But you don't have to. But I do think he's okay for single entry and tournaments. He does have 40, 45, 50 Fando point upside. And a sneaky tournament play, and I don't think I would do it on a nine-game slate, but if you pair Reggie Jackson and KCP, no one has those two on the same roster. Deion Waiters, 4.8K. Let me just check his minutes real quick. Yeah, he's still only got 15 minutes last game. If we hear he's going to get a full allotment of minutes against Golden State, he could jack up like 30 shots. And he would all of a sudden become a sneaky play. Lou Williams, everything about Lou Williams is on the decline. The minutes, the usage, So, but the good news, that means the price has come skyrocketed down. It's down about $1,000 since about a week and a half ago. Portland is atrocious defensively at both guard spots, especially shooting guard. So Lou Williams, a sneaky play. No one's going to be on him. I think he's fine for like large tournaments. Tim Hardaway Jr., I know all of you guys, when Kyle Korver got traded, I got so many questions about Hardaway Jr. You guys were so eager to play this one-trick pony, and he came through. 27 FanDuel points. He's not starting, but Coach Bud did say he's going to give Tim Hardaway Jr. some more minutes now that Kyle Korver's gone, and he got 31 minutes last game. If he's going to get close to 30 minutes, look, he's still a one-trick pony, but he's dirt cheap. He's got the best matchup in the world against Brooklyn. So I would prefer a guy like Lamb in tournaments, or sorry, a guy like Lamb in cash games. But quite honestly, in tournaments, if you want to roll out like a Lamb, Tim Hardaway Jr. lineup and go and spend up at every other spot, you could totally do it. So Tim Hardaway Jr., to me, even because it's Brooklyn, you could make a case. He's fine for all formats. I still will have a hard time doing it in cash, but single entry and GPPs, absolutely. Other than that, Crabbe's been playing out of his mind for Portland, 4.2K. Kilpatrick, 4.1K. Rodney Hood, he just can't seem to get it together. Played over 30 minutes, got 15 FanDuel points last game. He's 4K. You could do that as a dart. Jeremy Lamb, my boy. If Batum is out, I'm going to lock and load Lamb in, make my life easier. I mean, he shoots so much. And my favorite part about watching him this year, he attacks the glass with like a vengeance. So he's not only a one-trick pony this year. In past years, he has been. So last game without Batum against San Antonio, 29 minutes, 28 FanDuel points. If Batum is out, I cannot envision against Houston, against Harden in the fastest-paced game of the day, I can't envision him not getting me 25, 30 FanDuel points. And then I'll keep an eye on Denzel Valentine. If he plays for the Bulls, they're going to need someone to score. So you can play him as maybe a dart. All right, small forward. Man, I'm starting to get my hoarse, my nose stuffed. Had to power through. Man. I need some Sudafed, too. That's like the one medication I will take, is Sudafed. I don't know why. I don't know why I take that for nothing else. I'm a weird little man. All right. Kevin Durant, tournaments only. Get these Golden State guys out of my life. I hate them all. I'm giving him the middle finger if you guys can't see. I wish you could see my visual. It's basically me in boxers with a gavel giving Kevin Durant the middle finger at 4 in the morning. It's quite the sight while I'm sick and tissues all everywhere. LeBron James, I told you guys, if you want to get LeBron on a night when he's super crazy low-owned, this is the night to do it. Coming off a bad game against Phoenix where he should have went nuts and he didn't. And now he gets a super slow-paced game against Utah. And why can't he give me 50 FanDuel points? I mean, this should be a really nice competitive game. And is it crazy to say LeBron ends up with the most FanDuel points out of any player on the slate? It sounds crazy when I just said it like that. But no, it's not that crazy. It's still LeBron James, man. So if you play him and you get him at like 14% owned and he ends up going off for like 65, 70, you're ahead of 85% of the field. And you could achieve some glory. And that would be nice for all of us. Kawhi Leonard, 8.3K. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm almost thinking he's going to join me in Magic Mountain. Because 26, 40, 43, 24. If you watch the Spurs, and the judge sadly watches every team, what you've been noticing them is that they're going to LaMarcus Aldridge more and more. And that hurts Kawhi's usage rate. And obviously his fantasy production. And so he hasn't been great lately. And at 8.3K in a 9-game slate, he's okay. But I would just prefer to go elsewhere, quite honestly. Gordon Hayward, 7.2K. Another guy hasn't been great lately. And now that Derek Favors is back, George Hill is back, his usage rate goes down. And so we have to wait for all their prices to drop a little bit. Now, I think his price has come down. I think it was close to like 8K. So 7.2K is pretty fair. I'm gonna find a way to have a little exposure to Gordon Hayward, Favors, and to Gordon Hayward, Favors, and Gobert. for Utah on the slate. Rudy Gay, he was a 7.1K. He was really good. Again, the last game I watched them play against Golden State, he had 32 FanDuel points. The problem is it's Rudy Gay. He is the epitome, maybe the original founder of a one-trick pony. When I first started playing DFS, he was, I think, the first guy I called one-trick pony, because he would end up have games 25 actual points, 25 FanDuel points. And so it's just hard, especially with Sacramento playing so slow in pace. And they're playing against Detroit, two teams that play so slow in pace. Not a huge fan of Rudy Gay in this matchup. Otto Porter, the man without a usage rate has been really good. Now, the one reason you can play a guy with a low usage rate like an Otto Porter is if he's doing other things on the court. So he's got a 15% usage rate, but his peripherals would make him so expensive in a decent play. Look at the last few games: 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal. 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks, 3 steals. So if he gets some actual points, that's just like a bonus. So the 6K is a little scary to me. Also, the game against Chicago, they should destroy the Bulls without Butler and Wade. So I'm not going to go there too much. Not in a 9-game slate. But tournaments, maybe. The problem is you got his twin brother, Michael Kidd Gilchrist, who's like 1.2K cheaper. So I'd probably prefer to go MKG in a faster paced game. Trevor Ariza, 5.8K. My stance on him. Speaking of usage rates, his is worse than Otto Porter. His is 14.9%, which is disgusting. But he's similar to Otto because he does other things on the court. I love pairing up Harden with an Ariza, with a Ryan Anderson to give me those assists. Jay Crowder, he's just too cheap. He's 5K. I'm tempted, quite honestly, to lock in Crowder and MKG in my cash game lineups. They're both just so dirt cheap. It allows me to spend up and get Harden and spend up at some other spots. I mean, Crowder, yeah, he hasn't been great, but he finds a way to grind 20, 25, 30 FanDuel points almost every night except the one night against Philly. And now they have no Avery Bradley, so he gets some more shots. So 5K, man, yeah, I know he hasn't been great the last couple games, and we keep expecting him to do more, but I'm going to go back to the well one more time on Wednesday or Tuesday, I think. Same with MKG. So if I'm going to play someone with a low usage rate like MKG, 14.5%, it's going to be in a super high fast paced game against Houston, and his twin brother Otto Porter is 1.2K. more expensive. I'd prefer to play MKG, especially if no Batum's out. Then he does gets a couple more shots maybe. And he's been really good the last few games. He's given you 28, 24, 28 FanDuel points, and that's basically almost 6 times value. So I do like that play. Other than that, you got Marcus Morris, you got Luol Deng, Evan Turner, you got the Mo Harkless, you got Bazemore, Bogdanovich. All those guys are fine. Cephalosha. I mean, look, there's all those value guys. They're basically darts you can throw and hope they go off. I don't think you need to do it on a 9-game slate. You can, though. You also got guys like Damari Carroll, Brandon Ingram, and then Doug McDermott. So McDermott, he did suck on Monday, 9 FanDuel points. But if there's no Wade and Butler, I mean, how can he not get 15 shots? I mean, they have no one to score. He's probably – him and Mirotić are probably the Bulls' best scorers now. So at 4K – I'm going to say it, man. Safe for all formats. So, yeah, I mean, you don't even have Crowder and MKG. You can cross one of those guys out and put in Doug McDermott if we find out he's starting, which he should. And even if they do get blown out, he still has got to give you close to 20 FanDuel points. That's got to be his floor. All right, power forward. Paul Millsap, 8.1K. Up against Brooklyn. So, yeah, I mean, you want to attack Brooklyn in every possible position. So why not Millsap? Last 3 games, it hasn't been great, 39, 39, 32. Right now, I do not have the money to play him in cash games, but he's fine for all formats. Kevin Love, 7.9K at Utah. Very tough matchup against Derek Favors. But he also can give Favors some trouble stepping out on the perimeter by a 3-point line. Going to be a single entry GBP play only for me, but Could Kevin Love give you 45, 50 FanDuel points? Yeah. And he'll be low owned on this slate. I'm telling you, this is the day to play the Cleveland guy in tournaments. Cleveland guys. Draymond Green tournament only for me. Aldridge, he's been really good. I'm telling you, that's why Kawhi hasn't been as great, because they're running so much of the offense through Aldridge. 35, 37, 43, 50 last four games. And quite honestly, then he had one bad game against Portland, and he had 40s the three games before that. So he's been rock steady. And now he gets you can attack the Bucks bigs. They are horrendous defensively. Jabari Parker and Henson or Greg Monroe, whoever they start up there, is a disaster. So he's in another really good spot here, safe for all formats. Same goes for Julius Randle. Portland bigs, you know, I've made a ton of money all year long. I've said it in every show, you can attack Atlanta guards, Portland bigs, Brooklyn everywhere, Lakers everywhere. Last game against Portland, 37 minutes, 35 FanDuel points. He's been over 30 FanDuel points for five straight games. And I see no reason why that shouldn't continue on Tuesday. Safe for all formats. Jabari Parker, probably a day I'm not going to play too much of him. San Antonio gives up the fewest or second fewest points to power forwards. Parker's not good at rebounding, so we're counting on him to score. Then he's got a tough matchup here, so not a fan of him on this slate. Tobias Harris, 6.1K, is too expensive for me on a super slow-paced game against Sacramento. James Johnson, 5.6K, that's fair. If this game could stay close, he's in a fantastic spot against Golden State, playing way up in pace. Right now I'm not doing it in cash games. Although if he did it in cash games, I understand why. But he's going to be single entry and GPPs for me only. And if I do play Miami guys, I'll probably have like two in the same lineup or so and hope it stays close. So I'll probably have like a Dragic and James Johnson lineup, or a Tyler Johnson and James Johnson lineup. Ryan Anderson, tournaments only. Team him up. And if you play Ryan Anderson, you should play him with Harden, because out of the 7 3-pointers he makes for you that night, five of them are going to be assists by Harden. Then you got Markieff Morris, Taj Gibson, Aminu, Derek Favors. I think Favors is coming off a bad game. I think he'll bounce back. He only got 20, on a back-to-back against Memphis. I know a lot of people played him. But this is not – now that he gets a couple days rest – and he's still too cheap, so he might be the he's my favorite Utah guy to play, obviously, on this slate. And he could give Kevin Love some problems down low. I worry a little bit about minutes, but for the most part, that's just too cheap. So Derek Favors, he's fine. He's another guy. I don't know what the upside is. I don't know how great it is, but I think he's fine for all formats. Mirotić, another guy. How can he not get up 15 shots? If the Bulls keep it close, it's going to be MCW, Doug McDermott, and Mirotić with a little bit of Gibson maybe. Mirotić, as long, you know, I guess I'm interested to see if he starts. I'd prefer him more if he starts, but if I find out he's starting, he does have a massive upside. Another guy who you could roll out and feel good about it in all formats. I know he's coming off a 16-minute stinker on Tuesday, but I think that's a good thing for us. That means recency bias. People don't want to play him on Tuesday. I will be playing him for sure. You got Amir Johnson, fine, 4.1K as well. And then an Anthony Tolliver is a sneaky play for Sacramento. I know a lot of us played Barnes last game out. Tolliver played 32 minutes, was the best player for Sacramento and had 26 FanDuel points. Sneaky ninja under the radar. No one will play him. Center. So you have the dream matchup. You have the two ultimate tin men, DeMarcus Cousins versus Andre Drummond, Detroit at Sacramento. I mean, God only knows what's going to happen here. Drummond might fall asleep on the court because God only knows if – I mean, someone needs to tell him he's playing a basketball game. The guy's so aloof and disinterested. Cousins is going to be ranting and raving like a lunatic. He's going to be jacking up three-pointers. He's been so frustrating to play. Cost me. I played him in a really high entry fee tournament a couple days ago against the Spurs. He got in foul, as I mentioned on the show. He got in foul trouble. Ended up being a soul crusher. With that said, Drummond is not only aloof, probably falling asleep half the time on the court. he's an atrocious defender. So Cousins is in an elite spot here. And if, as long as he doesn't act like a complete buffoon, which is saying a lot, he should smash. So safe for all formats if you have the money. Speaking of the other side, Drummond. You know, I'm not super high on him in this matchup. He's, I mean, Cousins is somewhat of a decent defender. And also, I wouldn't be surprised if they put Kufis or, yeah, I mean, Cauley-Stein doesn't even play. Why did they draft him? I have no idea. I'm not sure actually who, I guess they'd put Cousins on Drummond. How ironic would it be if they just, like, to start the game off, they each get, like, two, you know, they basically foul each other at the same time, because I've seen refs do that, like a double foul. There's just two double fouls to start the game. They're both in foul trouble. Bench them both. Let's not play either of these two bumps, although I know we have to. But Drummond's fine. I just prefer other guys, so I'm not going to use Cousins. Plus, Drummond's coming off a really good game, so his price has come up now to 8.4K. As you guys know, I am a little biased here, though, because Drummond's cost me more money than any player in the NBA. Pace is the one position when it comes to center, center is the one position when it comes to pace I don't care as much about, because I think sometimes it's good for centers if the pace is slow. That means it's easier to get the, you know, feed these big, you know, big goofy mother effers. So, I mean, you can play Drummond. I'm just not going to do it on the slate. Whiteside, 8.2K. You know, like I said, in theory, if they keep it close, it's going to be Dragic and Tyler Johnson with some James Johnson and some Whiteside. So he hasn't, you know, he's been hurt and he hasn't given you 40 FanDuel points since December 22nd. He hasn't given you 50 since a little before that. So tournaments only for me. Dwight Howard, yeah, he's in a good spot. So against Brooklyn, against Brook Lopez, who cannot rebound to save his life, Dwight should get 20, gobble up 20 rebounds in this game. Super easy. Safe for all formats. If you want to pivot off of Cousins and Drummond, I think you can you put in Dwight really easy. And if you team up with Dennis Schroeder, maybe you get some easy assists, maybe some easy alley-oops for Dwight. Rudy Gobert, another guy always underowned, always overlooked, always safe for all formats. He's going to get you a double-double. He has a floor of like 30 FanDuel points. The problem is the ceiling's not great, but he'll probably stumble into 30 to 40, 45 FanDuel points max, and he's fine. If you play him, you just got to hope another center doesn't go nuts, because he has no offensive game. So that's why the ceiling is somewhat limited with him. I mean, I'm looking, the last time he hasn't scored 20 actual points since December 18th. Al Horford. Yeah, Al Horford is a good play, because when Avery Bradley goes out, Al Horford, I think, sees the biggest bump in usage. Don't quote me on that, because I forgot if it's Isaiah or if it's Al Horford. I think it was Al Horford who saw a really massive uptick. So, I mean, I don't like attacking my boy Valanciunas, but also I don't know if Valanciunas is going to be on Horford or Amir Johnson. Sometimes they have Al Horford basically playing power forward right now. So Horford's cheap, relatively speaking. He's 7.4K. Another guy, probably single entry and GBPs for me, because I'd prefer to play Dwight in cash. But he's fine. He's a nice spot. Brook Lopez, 7K. Dwight Howard's been pretty good defensively, so not a day I want to target Brook Lopez too much. Pau Gasol, I mean, you can attack the Bucks bigs. The problem is his minutes. I mean, his minutes and production scream Magic Mountain. And, you know, these days he's got about a floor of 20 and a ceiling of maybe 35. And on a 9-game slate, I just don't think you need to force it. You can do it because the Bucks bigs are that bad if you want like a tournament. Gortat, you can play Gortat if you think somehow the Bulls keep this game close. I will probably look elsewhere. But he's fine. Relatively safe guy. Greg Monroe, man, Monroe's price has skyrocketed up to 6K. I'm not going to play. Wow, he's been 38, 38, 40, and 30, and 35 FanDuel points the last five games. That's really good. That's amazing for him. With that said, I mean, this one may be a day that I fade him. Cash games, I'm certainly not playing him. And Well, maybe I'll use him in a single entry or a tournament, but I'm not looking to play many Bucks against the Spurs, especially the Bucks bigs. Montrezl Harrell. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, he's just a perfect match, a perfect fit for that Houston team. Him and Harden mesh really well together. He gets 3, 4, 5 easy dunks off of Harden passes or off of putbacks. I think he was like 12 for 13 from the floor the other day, 35 Fando points. So if you want to sit, you want a guy to save, go value at center, you can play Harrell. I think he's and the Charlotte bigs are atrocious. I mean, it's Zeller, Hibbert, Kaminsky, Marvin Williams. So Harrell should be able to get all the rebounds he wants. You got my boy Valachunas. You can attack Boston bigs. Horford and Amir Johnson are not great defensively. Valachunas, in the last 2 games ago, against he got 33 minutes against Chicago, 25 Fanduel points, 33 Fanduel points against Utah. Then you have games against Houston. Houston was not a good matchup for him, so that's why he only got 15 Fanduel points, only 23 minutes. You guys know I love Valachunas, supremely skilled offensively. Good matchup for him. Probably not cash game because just Dwayne Casey hates his guts and never plays him. But he could easily end up with 30, 35 Fanduel points and help you take down a GPP. So a sneaky ninja play. He's always sneaky. He's always low owned. And I will have some exposure for sure in tournaments. Other than that, under 5K, Tristan Thompson, Robin Lopez, if you want. But yeah, I'm Roy Hibbert, Spencer Hawes. Spencer Hawes, what is he? Why did he play? He played 0 minutes against the Spurs. Is he hurt? Because before that, he had games of 29 and 22 Fanduel points. But on a 9-game slate, I don't think you need to do it. All right, that is it. That is the slate. The judge needs to go to bed. I feel like crap. We made it through, though. Remember, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Download the app Draft. Hopefully you got in the NCAA style bracket challenge, Judges Chambers. It's going to be awesome. I already tweeted out the link to DraftKings Chambers on Tuesday. I will tweet out the FanDuel Chambers links around 5 p.m. Eastern. Other than that, man, I need to get to bed. Hope you made some money on Monday. More importantly, let us all achieve glory on Tuesday. Let us enjoy this beautiful 9-game slate of NBA basketball. The judge is out. Court is adjourned.